Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of you Sports is Job listeners. Welcome to episode one of 2021. A happy new year to all of you. I know 2020 was not the year any of us could have predicted. Many of us went through tough times, but I know for a fact, seeing all of your tweets on our Sports is Job Twitter, all the messages that you sent us, I know there's lessons that you took away from 2020 that will definitely help you smash 2021. So to start off the year and start off with episode one, I have an amazing guest. This guest, she's actually has been the author of the Women in Sports Spotlight that we've been doing at Sports is Job. And I figured it was time to turn that spotlight around and put the spotlight on her. She's currently the communications director at 223 Agency, which is a digital marketing firm. She's worked for places like Florida State University, Wofford College, Washington State University. She's worked for the Panthers for a summer. So I'd like to welcome Madison Heading to the podcast. How are we doing?
Hey, Colby, how are you?
I'm doing great. Let's jump right into the conversation. And the reason why I wanted to get you on, and we talked a little bit about it before we actually started recording, but your particular situation, and I think a lot of people in 2020 went through this, and the unfortunate thing was the COVID eliminated a lot of positions within sports. And unfortunately, you were a casualty of that, right? You were working at Florida State as a marketing and promotions assistant. And in June, I believe, the summer, you announced that, you know, due to the pandemic, they had to cut your position. And now you find yourself working out of sports. So tell me about that experience. I mean, what were the initial feelings? And then how did you pick yourself up and say, let's get back to work and let's find a job. Let's get back doing whatever it is you love.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been working for Florida State since February 2019 is when I got there. Started like you said, as marketing assistant. Loved every minute of it. I came from big school, went to small school, went to another big school, and I just really enjoyed, you know, that culture, the lifestyle of, you know, fame and fortune. This is what, you know, so much of history of sports has come from. And I said, absolutely, like, let's move to Florida. So I did. And I never thought that I was going to be in a position to lose my job. They were pretty open about, and, you know, my bosses were great. And they were like, yeah, like, we'll let you guys know if anything happens, worst case scenario, you know, like everyone else was, you know, happening, like, you'll probably get furloughed. But, you know, don't, yeah, we're in a good place. So don't worry about it. And come middle of July, it kind of came out of a shock that one day I got a call from HR and they're like, hey, we need to have a conversation with you. And I was like, oh my God, what did I do? And I thought I like did something bad or, you know, whatnot. And I hop on the call and they were like, yeah, we just wanted to let you know that we had to cut 25% of the athletic staff. It was a really, really tough decision. At least one person from every department was cut. If not more, people who had been there for 2 months to 2 years, like me, to my SID of 20 years was let go. So it wasn't a, you know, we don't like this person, we're going to pick them to leave. We don't like that person. You know, we'll just have now have this reason to let them go. It was kind of just rolled the dice. And unfortunately, the dice weren't rolled on me. And so it was really tough. At first, I definitely had a lot of emotions. I was like, this is so out of my control, none of my doing. And I really struggled and still to this day, trying to figure out, you know, what is my purpose in my life? For, you know, I was working in sports. I'd worked in sports since day one of freshman year of college. I knew what I wanted to do. I was really on this path of success from, you know, going to a Power Five school to having an internship right out of college to a full-time paid job at, you know, one of the biggest schools in the country. And, you know, to have that just stripped from you totally unbeknownst to going from one day, you know, I'm prepping for volleyball season to next, I'm like, oh my God, I have to tell my team goodbye. It just really took a toll on my mental health and what I saw as, you know, what my life was turning into and what that looked like. And yeah, for a really long time, I was in, like I was saying, still to this day, pretty up in arms about it. I was every emotion from angry to bitter to, you know, happy for a new opportunity to, you know, sad that, you know, I can't work in sports and all my friends are still working in sports to understanding because this is the world we live in and everyone else is going through this too. But then, you know, back to like hurt, like why me, you know, why did I have to do this? What was supposed to happen in my life that makes, you know, this part of my story? So it was really difficult to go through that. And after about a week or two, just within my personal life and everything, I got an opportunity to stay in Tallahassee. My boyfriend was going to be here at a job for the next 2 years. And I said, okay, I also am going to be here with him. I need to find a job. And I kind of just said, woke up one day. I said, I'm going to go find a job. I thankfully enough, thank you, Jesus, only went a whole 2 days without a job. Got off of work on a Friday and went to my new job on a Monday. My boss found me through my LinkedIn and my Twitter posts, and he was like, hey, if you're working for Florida State and they're letting go of you, I'm going to make sure that someone good swoops you up. And he goes, I know you don't know anything about agency life. I know you don't know anything about spray foam, roofing, you know, all these companies that we do. He goes, because you're sports. He goes, but I want someone in here that has a fresh mindset, that has, you know, a creative and different look on the world. And he goes, and you have that. He goes, we don't have a position open, but I'm going to make one for you. And I said, okay, I guess this is where I'm supposed to be. So Saturday and Sunday, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have a job. What am I supposed to be doing myself? And picked myself up back on Monday morning and walked into work and just kind of took it and ran. And it's definitely been one of the biggest blessings, you know, just to go from, you know, being so knocked to my knees, you know, in 1 month to, you know, I was living beautifully, had a great life, work was going great, being knocked on my knees to then, you know, kind of being brought up again from a place I didn't know I needed. So it definitely has been a whirlwind of emotions the past 6 months. I am sure the next 6 months will be just the same, hopefully better. But yeah, so wouldn't have ever bet money that I was going to be working in an agency, but it's probably been one of the biggest blessings in disguises that I've experienced in my life.
And I think your experience, your story, right? You go from sports to the agency life, but I think your story is an example as far as it can work vice versa. It can work in the reverse as well. Mm-hmm. Like if you're working outside of sports, you can find an opportunity in sports because a lot of times, you know, whether it's your work ethic, your talent, your experience, a lot of times these supervisors or people are hiring, they can see the way you fit. Like just skills and certain things are universal no matter what the industry is. So to see that you got back on your feet in such a short time, I mean, that's a blessing. That's good to hear. What has been, I guess, now that, you know, your boss, who the person that hired you, were saying it's a whole different world, what has been the difference for you? Like, how has it been adjusting to whatever it is you're marketing or working on? Like, obviously, the product is not the same. You were doing, your product was sports in one area. Now, like you were saying, it's roofing. And we talked about, like, a different, like, restaurants and a bunch of different things.
Yeah, so it went from, you know, working in athletics, I had two sports, I had softball, volleyball, and that was my life. You know, I mean, you name it, whether it was my personal social, their social, graphics, posters, marketing, I mean, you name it, I did it with them. And so when I came over to agency life, I was like, okay, I'll have one or two clients, life will be good, and I'll be able to focus on them, same concept as us, as athletics. And when my boss offered me my position, he didn't give me a job description. He said, I don't know what your job is going to look like because we're creating a position for you. All I know is that I want you here. And I said, okay, sure. I guess we'll jump in the chaos that this is about to create. Boy, did it create chaos. I will tell you that. But it was good chaos. I went from, you know, the first week that I was there, completely switching over our social publishing platform that we use from one to another, because I came in and I was like, y'all, what are we doing? Like, this is, you know, not efficient. We can do this so much better. We have over like 100 social clients and, you know, our social platforms for our different clients. So, you know, you got to have something pretty powerful in order to make sure that everything's scheduled and looking good and stuff like that. So that was like my first week. And they were like, oh my God, this girl's coming in here and changing everything and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I just think we can do a little bit better. And so, you know, I went from doing that to my role transitioning to, you know, being essentially an account manager for all of our clients, upwards of 40 and counting. So depending on the day, there's some new ones, some old ones, and definitely in between. So now everyone in, you know, who is our client knows my name, my face, what I sound like on TV commercials. I mean, you name it. I do most of the interacting, if not all of it, with them. My boss tells everyone, makes this joke, and I make it too, because it's kind of funny, that I'm his quote-unquote glorified personal assistant, because he's running around crazy, you know, like he works in the company, he's a CEO, but I'm the one who's handling everything. So anything that comes to him, he's like, Madison will take care of it. Madison will handle it. You know, if you need to make a decision, go run it through Madison. She'll like do it. So it went from, you know, and comparing that to what I was doing in sports, was I was always asking. I was always like, hey, can we do this? Hey, can we, you know, this has been, you know, the same marketing, you know, thing we've done at a volleyball game for the last 5 years, but I think we could do it better. What do you think about this? And now it's, no, I trust Madison, just go do it. And that's definitely been very interesting for me, to just in a perspective of, you know, I was in this world that was, you know, ask. And now it's in this world that's like, no, I trust you. I know that you're going to do the right thing. I know that you're going to make the right decision. So just do it. So, you know, it's been different from that. And I think the biggest thing too is, you know, I knew the sport of softball. I knew the sport of volleyball. I played both growing up my whole life. So for me, you know, the back end of understanding, you know, how to formulate a tweet so that way people who, you know, actually understood volleyball knew what was going on, because like I played, I knew, you know, what hits and strikes were. I knew, you know, what certain play happened on the softball field, because I played it for my whole life. But then I jumped to agency life, and we have companies that are spray foam. I don't think I could have ever told you a single like fact about spray foam before I like started working here. Roofing companies, you know, landscaping, restaurants. You know, we do social work for a major hotel here in town. You know, I mean, you name it, we pretty much do it. So that's been probably the hardest part, is just really being able to understand the industries, because, you know, everyone who owns these businesses are, that's their craft, that's their thing. And, you know, I have to have 47 different crafts and things now that I get to learn and know about. But it's definitely broadened my knowledge. I mean, now I can go on Jeopardy and there'll be some random questions. I'll be like, oh, I know that. Like, I know that doesn't work. And so it's been a little fulfilling in that sense. So if anything, at least I can get some more so than I used to questions on Jeopardy, right?
We're going to take a little break to hear about an exclusive offer for the very first time in 2021. We are reaching out to different people, different organizations, to offer resources to all of our listeners. So take a little break and we will be right back.
Sports is Job has exciting news. We want to offer all of you, our listeners, a free 1 month trial of SBS, the Clubhouse's pro membership. We're giving you access to exclusive webinars, over 100 sports industry mentors, and career advice from the founder himself, Bob Hamer. All you have to do to claim your free trial for this incredible resource is email bob@sportsbusiness.solutions and mention Sports is Job sent you. Now back to the episode.
So Madison, like, you know, you were just talking about how you learned about different things, right? You brought a different perspective into the agency based on the experiences you had in sports. And I think it's going to work when you go back in sports. You know, you're going to be able to bring a different view. Like you were saying, in sports, you're constantly asking for permission, where in the agency side, you have freedom. Things can probably move a little quicker. You know, you get to do a lot more. So that's kind of my question is from your short time now working at the agency, working outside of sports, outside of what you were just mentioning about having to ask for permission all the time, what is one thing that you would bring over from the agency side and working outside of sports into the sports world?
Yeah, I really think very foundationally that it is confidence. I didn't really have that. I never really received that. I mean, I would, you know, get a pat on the back from the coach after the game. Yeah, Madison, great show. That was, you know, that was awesome. You know, not really from bosses, coworkers, anything like that, through just, and that's just the nature of the sports world. Everyone's just go, go, go all the time, get through the game, make sure the team wins, and that's it. And now in the agency world, it's, you know, I've been taught like that people have confidence in me. So why don't I have confidence in myself, in that I know what I'm doing, that I know that, you know, the work that I'm doing is quality, that is good, and things like that. And so I think when I go back into the sports world, I'll feel more confident in my abilities, in who I am, in just what I bring to the table. And I think that will definitely, you know, help in interviews and things like that, where, you know, I'm trying to find the right fit for the right job. And, you know, I'm going to be like, you know, whatever questions or conversations we have in interview, I want to know, and know by how they show me that they will believe in my confidence and believe in what I bring to the table, not, oh my God, I need a job, hire me. Just, I don't care what sports team, I don't care where, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think that was where I was when I graduated college. I said, I don't really care where I want to live. I don't really care, you know, what that looks like. I'm just going to go, whoever hires me. And that's why I took the first job that I got and moved to South Carolina. And I said, you know, hopefully they believe in me. Hopefully I do good. And it was just kind of always this hopefulness that I had. And I was like, well, I guess we'll see where things go. But I really didn't have that confidence coming out of school and coming out of athletics. And I think, you know, just hindsight 2020, that, you know, seeing what, you know, just the culture of the sports world kind of just creates, that happens to a lot more people than I realized. And, you know, just through talking to people through COVID throughout the past couple of years, and like really realizing that, I was like, you know, like that is definitely, you know, something that I can resonate with, that I have experienced, and that I feel. So definitely when I go back into sports, just feeling that there is a seat for me at the table, and that I earned that, and that I'm confident enough to sit in it and share my voice.
And I have to say, I mean, you know, for you to not be confident, I think that's kind of surprising, just because of the fact, like you were just saying, and I'm sure you can see it now, but you went from one side, and we talked about this before we started recording, you went from one side of the country to Florida, and it takes guts, it takes confidence, it takes courage to make that kind of move. And like you were saying, you instantly moved, you know, when you graduated from college, straight to South Carolina, and then South Carolina to a big Power Five school with Florida State. And for you to be able to do that, I mean, that just speaks to your confidence in yourself. And to say that, you know, you don't have confidence, that's surprising to me. So hopefully, you know, over time, you're able to look back and say, hey, you know, I did that sort of thing. But I think you made great points there as far as to our listeners, is you're going to have to be willing to move. At the end of the day, you're going to have to be willing to move for an opportunity. But also, you know, when you're making these moves, when you're on your journey, look back a little bit. Look back at what you've accomplished, and have that confidence in yourself, and understand that you are in the position you are. You're at this, you earned that seat at the table. And I think that's a very important message. But you talked about something there, Madison, about how everyone in athletics is go, 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 go. And I definitely feel that right now. Right now, I am busy up to my neck. I mean, my daytime job is doing home game operations for a D2 school. So we're in the middle of it. We just had our first home games this past weekend, and it's literally constant go, go, go. Like, I haven't had a day off since probably 2-3 weeks ago, and I'm supposed to be taking my time off, but it's like the athletics world is always going. So I want to refer to a tweet. And shout out to Evan Luke Foto, who tweeted this, and you quote tweeted it. He said, I've been seeing a lot of posts about leaving the sports industry and your mental health clears up. And you said, you know, this tweet could not be more true. Unfortunately, I gained so much genuine happiness and relief when I left sports. This is real, and I wish it wasn't. And I want to talk about this topic because for us, you know, we have the opportunity to make the sports industry for better for the people who come after us and just make it better in general. So what have you noticed about the work-life, you know, situation working in the agency world that's different than sports? And what do you, now that you're viewing it from the outside, what do you think is the issues? How do we make it better?
Yeah, it's definitely a big, big thing that weighs on my shoulders, being someone who, I've seen a lot of people struggle that are very close with me mentally due to the things that we as staff who work in athletics experience. My big thing is, you know, we sit in, you know, all staff meetings at the beginning of every year, no matter what school I've been to and worked at. And, you know, they preach and preach and preach about, make sure, you know, you're there for your student athletes. Make sure, you know, they know that there's places to go and talk to, and, you know, make sure you're, you know, yeah, you can be like a peer to them, but, you know, just make sure that if they ever need anything, they can come to you. And, you know, it's just preaching about student athletes all the time. And I think that so often, everyone who is supposed to be the ones who are supporting are not supported. And I think that, you know, just through seeing it firsthand, through seeing it in myself, that it really takes a toll. And that's something that no one talks about at all. I was in a very dark, dark place for a little while when, you know, it was just kind of a chaotic mess. No one, you know, would ask what I was doing or how I was doing. You know, it wasn't any sort of, you know, gatherings outside the house. I get we see each other for, you know, 80 hours a week, you know, in our home, no big deal. But, you know, sometimes it's nice to be able to decompress with people who experience what you do on a daily basis. You know, there's no, you know, gatherings or, you know, even then, like sometimes it's not even a Christmas party. And I'm a big, big, big proponent of Christmas parties. And all I've got to say is I will never work for anyone who doesn't have a Christmas party. So that's my two cents. So you can quote me on that for the rest of my life. But, you know, I think it's so stigmatized that we have to support everyone else and no one supports us. And I think it's going to be really, it's something that will be hard to change because people are so afraid to talk about it. Because most of the time in athletic departments, the people who are making the decisions are the ones who are normally older, been there for a while. They've done things how they've done them. They got through their life. So, you know, they figured out how things work through their time in athletics. Why should they change anything? Why should they, you know, add this or, you know, take away that or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, for me, I think having the people who you're supposed to, you know, be supported by automatically off the bat, no matter what it is, not want to support you, it really creates a toxic culture, and a culture that is hard to be broken because that wheel has been spinning in the same direction for so, so long. And I think that through COVID, through the past really year, I've seen a lot more people start to be confident and say, you know what, I'm not doing okay. I'm going to take a mental health day because the sports world is running me up a wall that I had no business running into to begin with. And I need to step back or else I'm going to go crazy. And don't get me wrong, I was a victim of thinking that I was going to be okay and didn't have to ask that and was scared to say, oh, I need to take a mental health day. I would just say, oh, I'm sick. I got to stay home. Just because I was afraid of, you know, not only, you know, not being supported, but also afraid of what other people think. Like, oh, is Madison not strong enough to come to work every day and work two sports and this and that? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of things that everyone else deals with and experiences that they wish they didn't have to go to work some days. And, you know, I think really, truly being able to have leaders in your athletic department who are supportive, people in your office even who are like, you know what, we're just going to talk about it and I'm going to come into your office every day, be like, hey Madison, how are you doing? Like, you don't need to tell me anything, but if you need, you know, whatever that prerogative is, it opens the door. And I think that, you know, holistically is the biggest thing, is a door just needs to be open for staff, through, you know, whether that's administrative level, through your boss, through your coworker, through the interns that you have, you know, and, you know, you to others and others to you, that if you open a door, someone eventually will walk through, and that's how you make change. Because it's not gonna, you know, you're not gonna snap your fingers and, you know, January 1st, 2021, everything's gonna change and everything's gonna be great. Like, I mean, I wish I could, and I would get paid a lot of money if I could, you know, snap my fingers and make everything change. But, you know, that's not the reality of the world that we live in, or the culture of athletics, unfortunately. So I think it's really going to be that small step of supporting people, talking about things. And like I said, just opening that door, to allowing that culture to, you know, mold and be changed into a more accepting and positive. And yeah, absolutely. Like, you did work 80 hours last week. Yeah, you're probably a little tired. Please don't come in on Monday. Like, do whatever you need to do. Go sleep. And it just not even be a, you know, in question. It's just like a, I know it's tough. We all understand it's tough because we all do it together. Why aren't we, you know, supporting each other together? So.
And I think that's the, you know, for 2020, I'm starting to definitely see positive changes, because I think people are realizing now how important that work-life balance is, because now we're working from home. People are being a little more productive now because they can take breaks. They're, you know, they can take their mind and take a break off of their work and sports. And for me, you know, fortunately and luckily for me, you know, shout out to Steph, our AD that I work at the University of Minnesota Crookston. She does that to me, right? She knows, like, I work long weekends for games, or I work a bunch, and she's like, hey, don't come Monday. And I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, don't come Monday. Or even with the COVID situation, right? Like, we were super busy, like, things were happening. But the first thing she asked, she didn't ask, like, how are you doing with the job? She asked, how are you doing personally? How are you doing financially? How are you doing with your family? How is everybody at home? And she didn't notice it. And I don't think she did, because she's just genuinely a nice person. She cares about me. It was when she asked that, I mean, the weight on my shoulders were lifted up. I just felt so relieved. And I remember, and that's why now it's like, when she gives me the day off, the very next day I come in, I'm like, I'm ready. Like, for her, you know, mm-hmm. just because the fact I know she cares, I want to go the extra mile for her and for a student athlete. So I think it's important. And it's something I'm definitely taking note of, is when I become a future AD, I have to make sure, like, hey, these people are the resources to student athletes. Well, let's make sure they have the resources to them, because it's like that saying, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. We have to make sure mm-hmm. everybody's cup is always filled, or you can't help pour to other people. And so that's, I think that's a very important thing. You mentioned something there, talking about how 2021, right? It's not a instant reset. And obviously with this being the very first episode of 2021, it's natural I'm going to ask you and talk about New Year's resolutions. You know, some people set goals, some people don't set goals, some people have a theme. Everyone has a different approach to the very first day of a new year. So what's your approach to the New Year's resolution? What's on your mind for 2021?
Yeah. You know, I kind of view New Year as, you know, a fresh start, a clean slate, just like everyone else does. I'll be the first to say that I every year set some sort of a resolution or a goal or something like that, and on like day 4 or 5 my life is crazy and I break it, but I've learned that that's okay. You know, for the longest time, whether it was me having to, you know, train myself to, I have to go to the gym all 5 days, or I have to do this for this amount of time, or every single day I have to read 10 pages, or I was putting myself in this box. And I didn't like being in that box, because there were some days where I was human and life happens, and I felt so horrible that I didn't sit in that box, that I had to get out. And I was like, you know, I don't like that. I don't like feeling that I have to go through and try to make sure that every single day I do something, and, you know, whatever that goal is. And I said, you know what, I'm going to make a lifestyle choice to say, hey, I'm going to do my best every week to go to the gym. Whether I hit 3 days, whether I hit 4 days, whether I hit no days because I had a really bad week, I'm going to be proud of myself that, you know, I said, hey, this is my goal for the week, and be okay that life happens. Be okay that you don't feel good, that you're sick, that you get a new puppy, and it's really hard to figure out time to go to the gym when you have a new puppy. And so, you know, just for me, I've always, you know, seen a new year is a time to take a breath and reset and figure out, you know, what's important, what's something that you want to focus on, but not let it eat you alive. Because that's not healthy. That's not anything that is conduit of your happiness. And, you know, New Year's supposed to bring happiness and joy, and hopefully 2021 does that for everyone, because we didn't really have that last year, but knocking on wood. But, you know, I think that it's important to just be proud of yourself in whatever goal or, you know, thought or thing that you want to do this year. And if you don't hit it, that's okay, because life is tough, but, you know, so are you. So,
and I think that's the thing that people don't talk about, right? Because every beginning of a new year, it's always the positivity, the excitement, but also like you were mentioning, and I understand, like, it's a lot of pressure at the beginning of every new year, because you have to, like you were saying, you create these goals and the pressure you put on yourself to make sure it happens. And when it doesn't, it can get you into a rut, into a dark place. So it's important to understand, like, take a little break, take a little breather. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. I mean, you have these goals, and like you were saying, don't put yourself in that box. It's just important to let yourself be free and free of judgment from yourself, free of judgment from other people. And I think that's very important. Now, the last thing I want to talk about is your lesson for 2020. For all of you listeners, if you didn't know, we post articles on sportsisjob.com about sports professional development, spotlights on other people in sports. But our latest article was actually an article of all the different lessons that the Sports is Job team members learned from 2020. And Madison's lesson was, to everything, there is a season. So if you can, like, explain a little more, because I asked all of you to sum up the lesson in like two or three lines, and I'm sure that's not enough. So if you could explain to people your lesson, to everything, there is a season.
Yeah. So this is actually my favorite Bible verse of all time. To everything, there is a season. And no matter what season of my life I've been in, whether I was 17 or in college or working at Wofford or at Florida State, I was always in a different season of my life, whether that was, in very simple facts, the boy I was dating, the sports I was working in, you know, what my gym routine was, if I had a dog or not, you know, just all of these things that I was always in a different place in my life. And I see this as, you know, you are a book, and every single day of your life is a new chapter, whether you want to write that chapter or not, whether you want to say, you know what, I'm going to start a different book. And, you know, say, I'm going to do something better. I'm going to do something new and go from there. And, you know, just as I've gone through life, I see that no matter what season you're in, no matter what chapter you're in, you have to be able to sit and enjoy it. You have to be able to sit and say, I'm in this season for a reason. I'm sitting here losing my job at Florida State University at 24 when I thought I was going to be here for the good amount of the rest of my life. And I didn't know what season I was in. I was like, why is this happening? What's my plan for my life? Why? Just lots of whys. And I'm able to get through my whys by trusting that in whatever that why is, that there's a season and a reason for why I'm in it. And when you can trust in that and not worry about all the chaos that you can't control that's going on, it leads to a lot of more beautiful and wonderful things that most of the time you may not have even know that you realized and knew that you needed. And so definitely hindsight, you know, this past year has had more than four seasons. In Florida, we only get two, summer and then a little bit of cold. But, you know, in my life, I've had about a dozen this year, and every single one of them has put me to where I am for a reason. And hopefully, you know, just going through this new year, that I can continue to say, hey, whatever, good, bad, indifferent, that this is what I'm in, this is what I'm going to trust in, and trust that there's a plan for my life, and whatever that is, it's going to be good, and I can get through it. So
I love that. And for everyone out there, like Madison's saying, I mean, to every season, there's a reason. You may not see it now, you may not see it tomorrow, you may not see it next week, but I promise you, all the different things, all the adversity that we went through to 2020, they're going to prove there's a purpose for it all. You know, whether you realize it in a year, it's going to happen. And I can't wait to see it for all of you to get your dream job in sports, for you to come back into sports, for you to find just not just the job in sports, but just find your happiness and joy. At the end of the day, that's what this is about. It's about helping you find your path in sports, helping you find what it is you love, and feel fulfilled at the end of the day. So to Madison, thank you for coming on the podcast. If you could please share with the listeners, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me at Madison Heading on pretty much everything. I will say that my last two cents is that I'm going to leave you headed in 2021, that every single person who is going to get a job, is looking for a job, no matter what that is now, 6 months, a year from now. Ask your employers when they ask you a question, because I know everyone always struggles to figure out a question. Ask them, how did they treat their employees during COVID? Because that will tell you a million times more than any question you could ask about what a workplace is like and if you want to work there or not and how they'll treat you. And at the end of the day, you need to find a job. You need to go through life making sure that if nothing else, you are treated with respect and you are treated that you are worthy. And that, like I said, make sure you ask that question and be confident, because it'll take you a lot further than you think. So.
And where can they find you on social media?
Oh, at Madison Heading.
Perfect. So, well, I'll put the social media in the episode description, but I hope you wrote that question down. We talked about it in other podcasts. It's important to have your questions in these interviews. And that is a very great question to ask. And to all of you Sports is Job listeners, again, I said it before, I just want to say thank you for your continued support in 2020. And thank you for being a part of the community. We're all here for you. We're going to be providing more and more content, highlighting the different people in sports. And I would love for you to tweet at us on Twitter or even on LinkedIn. Share with us, what is your 2021 goals? What are your resolutions? What is the theme of 2021 for you? And even what it is you learned in 2020. But until next time, like I always say, we are all on our own individual journeys, but you are not alone.